Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The pattern of love for sinful humanity is to love those who are loving us, and only those. It is those who are kind to us to whom we are kind. It is those who invite us to dinner whom we invite to dinner. It is those who flatter us to whom we speak words of encouragement. If we are not receiving, the sinner in us does not want to give. I'm out of that relationship. What's in it for me? I'm not feeling it. It's not working for me. We have seen it all on Dr. Phil, and more importantly, in our own lives. Yes, we may love those who love us, but certainly not others. That is the pattern of our sinful self. In the text from Romans 5 that was just read, the Apostle Paul reflects on the gospel narrative of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and distills for us a starkly different, illogical, and hard-to-understand pattern of love that is of the very character and essence of God. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died in our behalf. Paul, being gentle here, he's being gentle because he has already laid out the law on his readers in chapters 1 and 2. What he means is that while we were still dead in our trespasses, in our sinful condition, while we were in utter rebellion against God, doing what was right in our own eyes, while we were scorning the image of God and running headlong into the self-indulgent idolatry of man, while the venom of asp, as he says in chapter 3, was under our lips and there was no fear of God in our eyes, while there was nothing righteous or lovable about us, God loved us. He loved all humanity, not just with some warm, fuzzy feeling, but in the action of his son dying in the place of every sinner for every sin. That is the pattern of love for the only true God. False deities follow the man-made pattern of loving the obedient. The Trinity revealed in Jesus Christ loves all sinners and dies for all. Paul honestly admits and stresses the complete illogical nature of God's love demonstrated in Christ's universal atoning death. For while we were still powerless, at the opportune time, Christ died in behalf of the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. We have heard heartwarming stories of friends donating a kidney to someone in need, usually a relative. We even read of a spouse or parent giving their life as they attempt or as they rescue their spouse or their child. From the numerous wars of the 20th century, and those even now, we also know of soldiers nobly giving their lives for others. For one scarcely will die for a righteous person, Paul writes. But we never read of individuals going to death row and taking the lethal injection of a murderer, much less many mass murders, except in the scriptures. God's pattern of loving sinners throughout history, not just a select group of sinners that seem more worthy than others, but all sinners, is demonstrated most clearly in the substitutionary death of Jesus for every sinner of all time. Those of you in our summer Greek intensive, don't overlook Paul's use of the preposition huper here in these verses. It helps you to see that your daily labors in the language are not in vain. Much theology is packed into Greek prepositions, and this is especially true of Paul's use of huper. Translated in the ESV with the generic English preposition for, it's important to see that it's benefactor language in Paul. And Paul uses it to proclaim, uses it to open our eyes, open the window to the whole teaching of universal substitutionary atonement in the death of Jesus. Christ died in behalf of, in the place of, for the benefit of the ungodly. While we were sinners, without any merit or worthiness in us, Christ died in behalf of us. Since Christ died for all the ungodly, we can be certain that God loves each and every one of us and each person to whom we minister. It is this gospel of the unique and universal scope of God's love, demonstrated in Christ's atoning sacrifice for all sin of every sinner, that was central to the identity of the reformers who came to be known as Lutherans. And it is this gospel that drove the missionary zeal of Luther, Leia, and so many of our Lutheran forefathers. Unlike Rome or the Reform, they did not point people inwardly to themselves for the assurance of God's love, to faith forming and showing itself in love, or to obedience as the evidence of true conversion. It is not that in which they boasted. Like Paul, they pointed people outwardly to Christ's righteousness in our behalf, for our benefit. His obeying and pain at the cross, to his perfect righteousness, alien righteousness, given to us as gift in holy baptism, where we are joined to the justifying death and resurrection of Jesus. People who are experiencing difficulties or tragedies often question God's love for them. Just imagine the feelings that must be flooding the parents of those teenagers killed in Norway who are being laid to rest even as we gather here this day. People tend to discern God's attitude toward them based upon some of their present-day experiences. If the sun is shining, he loves me. If a tornado hits, or even a tsunami, he doesn't. But Paul writes that the death of Jesus is the solid foundation of our certainty of God's love. There we see God for us this day and eternally, of our present reconciliation and our future salvation or deliverance on the last day. Listen again. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the illogical, the different pattern of love, and it's our source of confidence. May we boast in it by proclaiming it to every sinner. Amen.